Dreams take place in one moment and disaster seems to come the next.
Dr. Tony Evans says that's when God intervenes, even though it may not look that way from our point of view.
God stays in the background but controls the activity in the foreground.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Today, Dr. Evans will give us the ultimate biblical example of being in the right place at the right time as he begins a brand new series on the life of Esther and the lessons she can teach us. Let's join him as he starts off today with a look at how to recognize the invisible hand of God.
One day, a very lonely frog went to a fortune teller to see what his fortune would be. The fortune teller told the lonely frog, "Don't worry, because soon you're going to meet a girl who will want to know everything about you. Everything about you." The frog was excited to hear that he was going to meet a girl who wanted to know everything about him. And so he asked the fortune teller, "When will I meet this girl?" And that's when the psychic said, "Oh, you're going to meet her next semester in biology class." Sometimes you just feel unlucky. Sometimes things look good and they go south real fast. Sometimes, if the truth were told, dreams take place in one moment and disaster seems to come the next. If the truth be told, sometimes if you were confident enough to admit it, it just doesn't look like God knows what he's doing. Because if you were God, you wouldn't be doing what appears to be happening to you. The book of Esther is a lot like that. It's really a Cinderella story. The book of Esther is a shocker, because what you read was not supposed to happen. But yet this book is unique among the 66 books of Scripture. There is no other book like it. It is in a class by itself. This Cinderella story, this Disney film, if you will, hits us in ways that you would not expect, with surprises that you did not anticipate, and everybody loves a good story. And so this book is scripted in story form. It's a motion picture, if you will. What makes the book of Esther unique, and unlike every other book in the Bible, is that it is the only book in the Bible which does not reference God. Every other book mentions God over and over and over again. But in the 10 chapters of Esther, you will not find the name of God. You will not find a reference to God, which creates a question. Why would God put in his canonical writings of Scripture something that totally never even mentions him in his own book? Yet it is Scripture, it's inspired writing, but God okayed his name not being in it, and it's the only one in all of the Bible. That is because God wanted to use this Cinderella story and this book to teach you something about him that is critical for your life and mine, because there are many times in our lives when God is nowhere to be found. There are many times in our circumstances when you look for God and he is unlocatable. There are many times when it seems like God is letting things happen to you and me and us, that if he cared about us, loved us, why would he let that happen? He becomes the invisible God. There is a theology behind God's invisibility. when he is unlocatable. And that biblical theology is called providence. It is the providence of God. This book will make no sense other than being a great story read without knowing the reason why it was put in Scripture. And it was put in Scripture to teach you, me, about something about God that all of us face. And when you're able to know this truth about God and how he providentially works in history, you're able to move through life even when it's quiet spiritually. Because you know, even though you don't see him, feel him, or hear from him, he's pulling the strings behind the scenes. You see, the providence of God refers to a subset of another doctrine. So we must set the theology first for you to appreciate the book. One of God's chief theological attributes is his sovereignty. Sovereignty means his rulership over all of his creation. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, he does all things after the counsel of his own will. According to Romans chapter 11, verse 33, all things are from him, to him, for him, by him. And that nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, escapes his rule. That's his sovereignty. He is in charge of all things because he has created all things. But underneath the doctrine of sovereignty is the doctrine of providence. Providence, a subset of sovereignty, is a reference to how God controls the steering wheel of history behind the scenes. In other words, he achieves his sovereignty by his providence. The providence of God is the miraculous and mysterious ways that he intersects and interconnects things in order to bring about his sovereignty. His sovereignty is what he wants to happen. His providence is where he connects things so that his sovereignty does happen. It is when God stays in the background but controls the activity in the foreground. Well, you do not overtly see him, but where he is the puppet master, pulling the strings by either causing or allowing things to happen to work toward his intended end. What you will discover in the book of Esther is that God will cause or allow things to happen that are often in contradiction to what he wants. Let me say that again, because that'll sail over you. For God to achieve his sovereign purposes, he will providentially allow things to take place that are outside of his preferences. One of the questions that is asked in theology is, if God is bigger than Satan, why would God create Satan, let Satan fall, let Satan tempt man, since he's bigger than God? Because God in his sovereignty will allow things he does not prefer in order to accomplish his ultimate plan. And when you understand sovereignty and his providential way of achieving it, then even when God is visibly absent, you are conscious of his fingerprints. Take baking a cake. Butter, eggs, nutmeg, flour, sugar. Ingredients in and of themselves, by themselves, are not enjoyable. You do not put a tablespoon of flour in your mouth, or a tablespoon of sugar, or a tablespoon of nutmeg, or you don't do that. What you do is blend them. And when you put them in the blender and stir them together and put the fire up underneath it, good. You wind up with a cake, a pie. You wind up with something delightful. When you look at the factors independently, there's not too much enjoyable there. When they are blended together, something is being made bigger than the individual ingredients in and of themselves. God in his providence can take the nutmeg of your situation, the butter of your circumstance. He can take the flour of your failure and the sugar of your successes, put them in his sovereign blender, mix them up, and still come out with a cake that works. Because his sovereignty is achieved through his providence. And to illustrate how he providentially works, he allowed to be put in the canon of scripture, the book of Esther. So that you would see where his name does not appear and no overt reference of him is seen, that he is very vitally there. The scriptures abound with this truth. Isaiah 45:15 declares that, God, your ways are hidden. Proverbs says in 16:9 and in 19:21 and in 21:30, you make the plans, but God determines the outcome. In 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 10 to 12, David says that, God, you're in charge. You're in charge of all things. In Isaiah 46, verse 10, God achieves his counsel. In Psalm 33, verses 10 and 11, God accomplishes his purposes. So get this in your head and in mind. God is sovereign. He's granted men freedom, but he will not allow that freedom to stop his sovereignty. He must sow the freedom of men together so it achieves his sovereign purpose.
Dr. Evans will add more background to the story when he continues our message in just a moment. First, though, what you're hearing today is the first installment in his brand new series called Esther, Pathways to Purpose. It's loaded with lessons about recognizing your destiny, understanding God's timing, dealing with divine reversals, and more. We want to help you learn to apply these life-changing principles. So we're offering the Esther series on CD as our gift to anyone who can come alongside Tony's ministry with a contribution of any size. We depend completely on your generosity to keep this program on the air. So this is one way we can support you as you support us. And when you call us right away to take advantage of this limited-time offer, we'll include a special bonus, the companion study guide that'll equip you to get more out of each message, whether you're reviewing it on your own or with your Bible study group or Sunday school class. Get all the details and make your request online at tonyevans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222, where resource team members are standing by day and night to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. You'll want to have your Bible open to Esther chapter 1 when Dr. Evans comes back to continue our message right after this.
Journey to a time of kings and prophets. Witness epic battles and miraculous events. Live the greatest adventures ever told, straight from the pages of the Bible. The Tony Evans Training Center provides more than just world-class training in a learn-at-your-own-pace environment. It strives to make the books of the Bible come alive. We'll take you deep into God's Word so that you can experience it in a life-changing way. Begin your journey today at TonyEvansTraining.org. That's TonyEvansTraining.org. Explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
We begin in the days, verse 1, of Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus is the head of the Medo-Persian Empire. It's a huge kingdom. Now, to understand the story, you have to understand two other books of the Bible, Ezra and Nehemiah. because Esther is happening during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. God told Ezra to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. God told Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem and build back the city walls and build back the city. So Ezra is going back, Nehemiah is going back, and they are taking Jews with them. God had told the Jews, when I set you free, you are to go back to Jerusalem, which is my city under my covenant and under my covering. So Ezra, build the temple. Nehemiah, build the city, because I want the Jews to go back now, because the only reason they left there was because of their sin and they were under judgment. The book of Esther occurs in Persia with Jews who did not go back. So these are Jews who did not go back. It's sort of like when the Emancipation Proclamation was signed and the slaves were free, a lot of slaves decided to stay on the plantation. They did not want to risk the trip to freedom. Such is the case with Esther. The Medo-Persian Empire defeated Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. Not only is that biblical history, you can go back to your secular history books and I'll tell you the same thing. That's because the Bible is absolutely accurate. So Ahasuerus, which is a title, not his name, his name was Xerxes. Ahasuerus is like saying president or czar or shah. It's a title. Many of the kings were called Ahasuerus. Is sitting on his royal throne in verse 2. He calls together in the third year of his reign, verse 3 says, a banquet, a party, and it's a whopper because it lasts 6 months. There's 180 days of partying. I'm sure they were going in and out, and the people from different parts of the land would come inside and meet with the king, and they would party and have a good time. And at the party, it says that they were hangings of fine wine, verse 6. He says in verse 7, drinks were served in golden vessels of various kinds. So we don't have to go too deep in knowing that if you're going to really party in a secular environment, you got to have your juice. It says they had plenty of juice. Mr. Daniels had a good time at this party. It says all kinds. And as drinking was done in verse 8, each man, the end of verse 8 said, could drink according to his own desires. You could shop till you drop. You could drink all you wanted to drink. Ahasuerus' wife, named Vashti, verse 9, also gave a banquet for the women in the palace which belonged to King Ahasuerus. So Queen Vashti took all the ladies, while Ahasuerus, Xerxes, took all the men. The men were partying hardy. The ladies were in a different location with the queen. And then he decides that he wants to have a real conclusion to his six-month gathering. So he calls for a seven-day conclusion to his big party. On the seventh day, verse 10, we're surveying, when the heart of the king was merry with wine. He was a happy fellow. He commanded his leaders, verse 11, to bring Queen Vashti before the king with her royal crown in order to display her beauty to the people and to the princesses, for she was beautiful. Verse 12, but Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command delivered by the eunuch. Then the king became very angry with his wrath burning within him. Means he got ticked off. Verse 16, Queen Vashti has wronged not only the king, but also all the princesses and all the peoples who are in the provinces of King Ahasuerus. She not only messed you up, She didn't, that woman didn't ruin your whole kingdom, ruined your whole career. Well, how'd she do that? Verse 17, for the queen's conduct will become known to all the women. Mm-hmm. Causing them to look with contempt on their husbands by saying, King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought into his presence, but she did not come. The word is going to get out on this, O king, that you told her what to do. She said no, and we all saw it. And so here's the problem, King, verse 18. This day the ladies of Persia and Media who have heard of the queen's conduct will speak in the same way to the king's princesses. And they will be plenty of contempt and anger. Here's what the sister's going to say. If the pastor's wife could do that to him, I mean, if the king's wife... do that to him in public, then our wives are going to feel like they can do that to us in public. Because if women can disrespect the king, they're going to think it's okay to disrespect us. And you're going to create all kind of conflict and fights all along the kingdom, all because you can't control your wife. If it pleases the king, let the royal, verse 19, issue be issued by him and let it be written in the laws of Persia. It cannot be repealed that Vashti may no longer come into the presence of King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal position to another who is more worthy than she. So when the king hears this, he says, that's good to me, because I'm not going to diss. I'm not going to have no woman do this to me. And I'm not going to have your wives disrespecting you. So, okay, that sounds good to me. And when the king's edict, verse 20, was made and heard throughout all the land, then all the women, verse 20, will give honor to their husbands, great and small. King, you got to set this up so that our women don't disrespect us just because you let your wife disrespect you. Verse 22 of the end of chapter 1. So he sent letters to all the king's provinces, to each province according to the script, to every people according to their language, that every man should be the master in his own house. Amen? And the one who speaks in the language of his own people. You make it law that the man is king. You make it law that the man is head and he's the spokesperson for the house. Let's get this thing straight. King, this is an opportunity to stop this rise of feminism that Queen Vashti could be leading if you let this thing get out of hand. So we've got a family crisis that's now morphed into a potential social crisis, all setting the stage for the providential hand of God.
And we'll have to wait until tomorrow to see how that story plays out. In the meantime, just a reminder, you can get the full-length version of today's lesson as a part of Tony's current Esther CD series, along with the companion study guide I told you about earlier. As I mentioned, we're offering them both as our thank you gift for any contribution you can make to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. So make a point of visiting us today at tonyevans.org to make the arrangements before time runs out. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or reach out to our Resource Center by calling 1-800-800-3222, where team members are available 24 hours a day to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Long before the environment was on most people's minds, God was already a master recycler, taking all the random pieces of our lives and using them to build his kingdom and carry out his agenda. We'll see that process in action tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.